Welcome to the Vertical Vision Podcast with Ernest Finklia. Here we use the Word of God to gain biblical perspectives and direction for daily life. You can contact us by email at verticalvision316@outlook.com. And now, here's Ernest.
Hey everybody, welcome to Vertical Vision. Well, it's Christmas, and it's the time where we think about the birth of Jesus. And what I want to do today is a little bit different, and then in that rather than looking at the birth of Jesus, I want us to look at the gift of Jesus. Whenever we get a gift, especially if it's wrapped, okay, the first thing that comes to mind is, what is it? What am I getting? Is it something that's going to be useful for my life or make me happy? And when we look at the birth of Jesus, we see the gift of God wrapped in human flesh, packaged as a baby, all right? And what are we getting with this gift of Jesus? That's what we're going to delve into, and we're going to look in the Gospel of John to find out just some of the key elements of what this gift, or really who this gift, is all about. Because if we understand how incredible the gift of Jesus is, and we understand the kinds of things that occur when we receive the gift of Jesus, it has a tremendous impact on our life and an appreciation for what God and Jesus has done for us. So I want to begin in John chapter 1, verse 1, and just start by looking at who the gift of Jesus is, who this is that was wrapped in a little baby's body, okay? It says in John 1, 1, in the beginning, or from the very beginning, was the Word. That's another name for Jesus, okay? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. So what we see about Jesus is, first of all, he's the Word of God, and that means he's the logos, or the expression of God in tangible form. So anytime we want to express an idea that we have or express ourselves, we generally use words to express that to other people. And so that's who Jesus is. He is the expression of God to us in a tangible form. Okay, how do you even begin to understand an infinite, eternal, unfathomable God? Well, he packaged himself in a way that we could understand and grasp and take hold of. And then we're also told here that he is God. Jesus is, in fact, God. And he's the creator. All things came into being by him. Nothing was made that he didn't make. And then we're told that in him was life. He's the source of all life as the creator. And he's the giver of life, not just physical life, but spiritual life. There's two sides to our existence. There's our physical life, and we are spiritual beings, a spiritual life. And Jesus has provided both of those lives to us. And the life that he gives and the life that he lived is light to us. It's enlightenment. It shows us what life really is and what God intends it to be. And so John goes on to talk about this light. He's talking about Jesus being the enlightenment of humanity. And so in verse 6, he goes on and says, a man came, sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. This was the true light, that coming into the world. That's Jesus. The light coming into the world enlightens every person. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. So it's talking about him being the creator. And yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, the people of Israel, and his own people did not accept him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but of God. And so here is Jesus. He has come into the world to enlighten us. He enlightens us as to who God is. Jesus actually said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You've seen God. And a lot of people go, well, I don't know what God is like. Well, all you have to do is look at Jesus and you'll know what God is like. A lot of people say, well, to me, God is like this. Well, how does that compare to Jesus? Because he's the one who illuminates who God is, because he is God wrapped in human flesh in a way we can comprehend. And then here's where John talks about us receiving the gift. Now, Israel as a nation rejected Jesus because they were looking for a political and a military savior. But Jesus came to save us from a much bigger enemy, and that's the enemy of sin and the devil. And he came to set us free from that sin and to give us life, eternal life in relationship with him forever. So, you know, that's kind of a big concept, but that's what Jesus came to do. And it says, as many as received Jesus, he gave the right to become the sons of God and the daughters of God, the children of God. And people will say, well, we're all children of God. And yes, that's very true in the sense that we're all created by God. But this is talking about a father and child relationship, a papa, a daddy and child kind of relationship, something very intimate and personal and special. And that's what Jesus came to give us. So as many as receive Jesus, it's not enough just to believe. We have to receive him. So, you know, think about this. If somebody gives you a gift and you believe it's for you, and you believe that the person who gave it to you cares about you, that's great. But that gift isn't going to do anything for you until you actually receive it. Take it for yourself and bring it into your life. And that's what we have to do with Jesus. It's not enough to believe that he existed. It's not enough to believe all of the truth about who he is, that he's God and that he's the one who has died for our sins and paid for the punishment that we deserved for disobeying God, and so many other things about him that a lot of people believe to be true. It's not enough to just believe. We have to receive him into our lives. And it's not receiving a thing. It's not receiving a religion. We're receiving a person to be a part of our lives, to where we share our lives and, in fact, give our life to him. He gave his life to us, and we give our life back to him. And we enter into this intimate relationship with him. And when we do that, that's when we get the right to be a child of God. Okay? So we have to receive him. Now, let's look at how this gift was delivered, okay? In verse 14 of chapter 1 of John, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and called out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who is coming after me prove to be my superior because he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son, who is in the arms of the Father, he has explained him. So John brings it all back to the fact that Jesus is in fact God, revealed to us in flesh and blood. But you notice how it says, and the Word, Jesus, who is God, became flesh. And it's more than just he became a baby. Okay, and that's what we think. We think the baby in the manger. But think about this. We've learned that he is the creator of all things. Everything that exists, things that we see and things that we don't see, all exist because of him. And then in order to meet us where we are and express himself to us and experience the life that we live so that he can show us the life that he wants to give us, he came down to the molecular level and he joined himself with a human egg in the person of Mary. And he started life just as every single human being does, a single cell. This infinite, eternal, all-powerful God confined himself to a tiny cell and from there developed just like we do. And Jesus experienced every stage of human existence that we do. Jesus experienced the whole birth process, the conception and all of that. He experienced growing up. He experienced joy and birthdays and family dynamics and, you know, working. He was a carpenter before he began his ministry in the world. And he's experienced everything, including the pain and the heartache and the loss and the sorrow. Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to hurt. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what it's like to suffer. And he knows what it's like to die. Everything about our lives he has experienced firsthand so that he can show us how to live through him and what real life is all about. That's incredible. He came and dwelt among us. He lived as one of us. And we beheld the glory of God through him as the only Son of God. And I want you to think about this. In verse 16, we see the word received again, okay? John tells us that in Jesus, Jesus was full of grace, okay? That's undeserved favor, okay? And truth. All truth is in Jesus Christ. Everything that is true stems from him because he is the source of all truth. So he's full of grace and truth. And in verse 16, it says, of his fullness, we have all received, and grace upon grace. What does that mean? Okay, so if we receive Jesus, okay, as who he is, the Son of God, and the one who died for our sins, paid the penalty for the sins we've committed against God, and we receive him, we become children of God, and we receive of the fullness of who he is. And we've just looked at how awesomely incredible he is. He's the creator, the source of all life, the source of all truth. He's the source of all grace and favor, all that is good and right. It's all in him. And in him we have received of that fullness of who he is. And then it says grace upon grace. What does that mean? Well, grace upon grace has this picture of like waves. If you've ever been to the ocean or to a beach, like, you know, at the Great Lakes or something like that, you'll see the waves roll in on the shore. And a wave will roll in and then draw back, and another wave will roll in and take its place, and another wave will roll in and take its place, and on and on and on. And that's the way this is worded here. It's this idea of favor from God rolling upon the shores of our life, one after the other, after the other. And it doesn't stop because it's of his fullness, which is, you can't empty who God is, who Jesus is. So that grace just keeps rolling in. And you think about this, when he gives us the right to become children of God, that's grace, undeserved favor. And then more grace rolls in, because if we receive him as our Savior and the one who forgives our sins, and we receive him as our King and our Master, then our sins are forgiven, and we stand in righteousness before God. And all the sins we've committed, Jesus has paid for, and we stand before God as if we've never done anything wrong. That's grace. And then he gives us his love. And then he gives us the privilege of being with him in heaven for all eternity. But then on top of that, he actually puts his Spirit within our lives, and he begins this intimate relationship where we get to enjoy him. And that's more grace. And then when we do screw up and we sin and we do wrong, well, there's more grace there, and he forgives us and he loves us, and it just keeps flowing in. So this gift that we have in Jesus, it's never-ending love. It's never-ending kindness. It's never-ending relationship with the one who created everything, who wants you to be his son or his daughter. And he wants it so much that he not only became a human being to experience everything that we experience, but to show us how we can live in a personal relationship with him, and then to bring us into a place where we get to live forever with him in heaven. You know, this relationship with him doesn't begin after we die. It begins now. And I would encourage you, if you have never received Jesus and his love and his forgiveness, I would encourage you, today is the day to do that. Jesus died on a cross, not because he was a martyr, okay? He did it willingly, because that was the only way God could forgive us. Somebody had to pay for our sin. God is just. And because he's just, he has to judge sin. But because he also loves us, he wants to be able to forgive us, which means somebody's got to pay the price for our crime, basically. And he chose to do that by sending Jesus to suffer that punishment on that cross for us, so that in exchange he could give us his forgiveness. And I encourage you, ask Jesus to come into your life. Surrender your life to him. Receiving Jesus means surrendering to him and obeying him and giving your life to him, just as he gave his life to you. Receive him, and then let the fullness of who he is begin to flow into your life, waves of grace every day, every moment, pouring into your life, because he loves you so much. God bless you. Merry Christmas. And we'll see you next time.
We would like to thank you for joining us for this episode of the Vertical Vision Podcast. Feel free to reach out to us with any questions or comments at verticalvision316@outlook.com. Stay tuned for more episodes.